After more than 20 years outside every Blues home game, St. Louis Game Time is bringing the coverage to you. It's almost always never easy, but this is Game Time AM with Brad Lee and Jeff Jones on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Game Time AM. I'm Brad. That's Jeff over there. Matt Davis pushing the buttons. I'm a little salty this morning. I gotta admit.
I'm not.
I am. They tried to pass it off. The long-suffering Predators fans last night. The long-suffering Predators. 18 years in the league, Jeff. 18 long, excruciating years.
Hey, look, the Blues got there in their first season.
They did. And they their second and their third.
And then not for the next 47.
All right. So let's make sure you understand what we're talking about. The Nashville Predators are in the Stanley Cup final. Do you go final or finals?
The Stanley Cup final, I think, right?
That's what they say officially, but it sounds weird.
No, I think it's right because it's the final of the tournament.
But it could be seven games.
Yeah, but the whole thing is a whole that is comprised of component parts. It is a singular final.
Do you think it's just a copyright thing because the NBA calls theirs the finals?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that's part of it, but I like it better as the collective. I don't know.
All right.
Stylistically, I prefer the final.
All right. So the
because it makes the whole thing seem like one big fight, right? Like as opposed to just individual games that don't have anything to do with each other, it creates the entire conglomerated collection of play.
I hope we can get some phone calls this morning. The phone's already ringing. Let me get out there a little bit what happened and why I'm a little salty. So whoever called in, just hold your horses for 1 minute. We got to set the stage here. So last night in Nashville, the loudest arena in the NHL, right?
Yeah, well, it's one of the top two right now.
Yeah.
Or top three, I guess. But
the Predators defeated the Anaheim Ducks 6-3. Advancing to the final round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for 2017. Hat trick for who?
Colton Sissons.
Who?
Colton Sissons.
And you just said right before the microphones turned on, a Colton Sissons hat trick in the playoffs would be for the Blues comparably.
Like if Kyle Brodziak popped up and played on the first line in a playoff game and then poured in three goals.
Yeah. That's how improbable that was last night.
Colton Sissons had 8 goals in the regular season this year. He has 13 career goals, and he scored 3 last night.
So, and they scored 6 goals, two of them empty netters, right?
Right.
On 18 total shots. How is that? I mean, that defies logic.
They had long stretches. I think they went after their second goal. They went like 10.5 minutes with no shots. They had a 5-minute power play. Nick Ritchie takes a terrible penalty, runs Arvidsson from behind into the boards early in the game, and ends up with a major game misconduct, and the Predators did not get a shot on a 5-minute power play.
Defies logic. All right, here's why I'm salty. At the end of the game last night, after the game, all 17,000 people who were, you know, spurred on by signs and chant sheets and all sorts of prompts, started chanting, "We want the cup."
Well, I mean, yeah, so?
Jeff, you've been a hockey fan for a long time, right?
Yeah.
How many times in your entire life have you been part of a group of people chanting, "We want the cup"?
Yeah, like none.
Yeah, never. I've been a hockey fan 28 years, almost as long as you've been alive.
Yeah.
I've never said we want the cup.
I can't be salty that the Predators had success and the Blues are not capable of getting to that level. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I should be, but they. I mean, clearly they've been better managed. They've been hotter this year. They've put together a better team. I mean, what's there to say? They're having success. I don't think that diminishes the Blues. Maybe that creates frustration that the Blues can't get to that level. But you know, they can't, or they haven't. I mean, at some point you just roll with it and you deal with what's going on.
I'm a full 42 years old. The St. Louis Blues have not been to the Stanley Cup Final in my entire lifetime, even when I was an infant, even when I was a just a glint in someone's eye.
Last year was the closest the Blues have gotten to the Cup Finals in my entire life. For you, it would have been 86, but, I mean, basically the same concept.
Yeah. That's horrible. Look, you know, it shows finally, man, here's the other thing. Gary Bettman was right. That sucks, doesn't it? Come on.
I need more words.
Gary Bettman was right.
About what?
They put a team in Nashville.
Well?
It works. I was happy for the folks in Tampa. I don't know. When they won the cup back, you know.
Yeah, he was right about that, too. He put a team in Atlanta that had to be moved to Winnipeg.
Of course, there's Phoenix.
Phoenix that is losing money hand over fist.
Still struggling.
Yeah,
not going back to Quebec when they have a brand new arena.
I don't think the last night is some like grand referendum on Gary Bettman's Southern Hockey expansion. And even if it was, I mean, that so what? Good for him. It's good to grow the game in new places.
I guess. I don't know.
It just feels like whining. Like it just feels like Blues fans be like, when's it gonna be our shut up, get better. I mean, they're not, you know, the team should be better. I don't know what to say about that.
Matt Davis, how you feel?
I feel like I'm a whiner. I think it's our turn. What the heck?
It's nobody's turn. You earn it or you don't. And the Blues have not earned it. They've not earned it for 50 years.
Well, that doesn't make me feel better.
Well, no. but it's like, you know, I don't really understand. Like, I understand feeling happiness in someone else's pain. That appeals to me. I don't understand feeling misery in someone else's joy. That to me doesn't do a whole lot, especially because the Predators are not particularly hateable, right? Like maybe I'm a bad fan because we went through a playoff series and I came out on the other side not hating them, but I did. I just don't have that in me. They're a likable team. They are fun to watch. The atmosphere is exciting there. That's what I got. I don't know. The only thing that I found last night that was annoying was that Garth Brooks showed up with his wife and was dressed head to toe in Garth Brooks gear.
What does that mean?
So Trisha Yearwood sang the national anthem last night.
Apparently
she's a Food Network host, which I did not know.
She is.
I somehow had missed that entirely. But there were pictures of her from backstage, basically from the arena level, and she's wearing, you know, her Predators jersey, and she's looking like she's going to sing the national anthem. And Garth Brooks is wearing a Garth Brooks baseball cap and then a t-shirt from a line that he owns. And it's like a black cap and like a baby blue t-shirt. It's like, really, Garth Brooks? You couldn't find...
Like his album cover?
Yeah, well, it wasn't his... But it was like... The brand of the shirt is like a lyric of his or something. I don't know. He's got, I guess, a line of shirts that he hawks. And it's like...
Rope in the Wind or
something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, really, Garth Brooks? Like, you couldn't find something yellow to put on?
Synergy.
And by the way, Garth Brooks also, like, not available on iTunes and has taken steps to actively remove all of his stuff from YouTube. Like, Garth Brooks is freaking squeezing a dollar till it screams, man. Like, there's no way that Garth Brooks hasn't made enough money throughout the 90s and the early 2000s that he could, like, you know, put the stuff on iTunes and wear a Predators cap, right? It is crazy.
That's fair.
Has anybody else out there been spotted in Garth Brooks attire?
I'm sure somebody has.
He sells a lot of concert tickets.
But I'm guessing that's because you can't hear him anywhere else, right? You can't listen to him. Well, and didn't he also, like, he went through a phase where he didn't tour for a while, like, wasn't he semi-retired?
Yeah.
I feel like right around when Con Air happened and Trisha Yearwood got huge, Garth Brooks kind of stepped back. Plus,
Wait. What's the connection to Con Air?
She sang the song in Con Air, that How Do I Live song. Yeah, it's her and Leanne Rimes each put out a version of that song, and one's in the beginning of the movie and one's at the end of that movie.
Okay, fair enough.
You don't have that depth of knowledge of Con Air?
I've seen it a few times.
That's a great movie. That's like an all-time underrated awesome movie. It is for sure the... I think that's the best. That's the best Nicolas Cage movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think The Rock is number two.
I'm not a very big fan of Nick Cage, so...
Well, I'm not a giant Nick Cage fan either. I had a roommate once who was like obsessed with Nick Cage. I don't know.
His performance in Con Air to me was a negative for the movie.
But it's in so. My opinion. But the cheese is so strong that it makes it worth it.
It was,
right?
Like it was strong.
The whole put the bunny back in the box thing. Like I can't even. I everyone's got the voice of Nick Cage and Con Air, but I can't bring myself to do it.
I think Dave Chappelle was wildly underused in that movie.
He was. That's true.
Wow. Yeah. I totally forgot he was in that movie.
Yeah. He's Pinball.
Pinball.
Yeah. Bye, Pinball. Yeah.
Poor guy. He did not have a happy flight.
Hey, he lights the chief on fire. Yeah, it's a huge bummer.
All right. So did you stay up for the very end of the game?
Well, I did not. I was awake, but I was not watching it. Are we getting into the phone?
Yeah, sure. We'll go to the phone. Who's on the phone?
Mark is on the phone.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you gentlemen doing this morning?
We're okay, I guess.
I'm in a good mood, but I'm dragging.
Well, I mean, it's no reason to be salty, guys. I mean, the Blues are not getting the job done. That's just it. I mean, I got a question for you. How many players on the Nashville Predators have previous Stanley Cup experience?
Going through the list of the Predators in my head, I can't imagine that any of them have won the Stanley Cup, right?
So
I think that's right.
Right, so it's basically all people that don't have any previous Stanley Cup experience, and they're eighth seed, and they go into the Stanley Cup.
And the first ever time that the number 16 seed overall in the NHL playoffs has gotten to the Stanley Cup finals. In the past, the eight seeds that have gotten there were the higher of the 2 8 seeds.
Right, and I just keep hearing all these excuses about the Blues, and I keep seeing these other teams. They progressing, man. I don't know. Maybe they just doing something wrong down there. They had the wrong management or something. Something's not clicking down there, man. Because these other teams, if it was impossible to do, they wouldn't be doing it. Okay?
Well, and here's what I'll say about that. One thing that the Predators aren't doing any better than the Blues is spending money, right? So you hear all this about how, look, the Blues got, and I know you said this too, the Blues got to spend more money and the Blues are too cheap. The Predators aren't out there spending buckets of money on all sorts of nonsense, right? I mean, that's, you know, that's a team that spends.
Well, that makes it worse then. That means somebody don't know what they're doing down there then. If you're telling me that they're spending about the same amount of money, somebody don't know how to judge players, man.
That's not wrong. You're not wrong about that. That's what I'm saying though, right? Like the question is not about necessarily spending money, making money. The question is about spending it the right way. And yeah, look, you're not wrong that the Blues have not done that to the. I mean, that's true. That's undeniable because the Predators are there and the Blues are not. So yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's my only point. If that's true, what you say, if they basically spend the same amount of money, somebody don't know what they're doing, man. They don't know how to judge talent. I mean, come on, this is what you said. The Predators have been in existence for what, 20 years now?
Yeah, 98-99 was their first year. So less than 20.
Right. So, I mean, you know, and what's wrong with that? We want the cup. That's the attitude you have to have, man. Those fans down there want the cup. They just are not happy to be there. We got here, so that's good enough. No, you have to have that killer instinct. If you want to win, you have to have that killer instinct, or else, man, why even play the game? Now, I heard Hockey Bob say, well, they just should be. If that was Hockey Bob, he would be satisfied with that.
Uh-oh, shots fired. Shots fired.
They're not satisfied with that, man. They want the cup, and I don't blame them. You go for it because you never know if you've ever been in that position again, man. You have to take advantage of your opportunities.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys.
Hey, take Mark. Thank you, sir. I'm not quite as fired up as Mark, but you know what? As he's talking about, you know, if they're spending the same money and one team's going up and the other team is not, and he said, well, obviously one team is not judging talent very well. I literally was doing the shoulder shrug emoji. I don't know, maybe.
So as I'm going down the list of the Nashville Predators roster, by the way, I am pretty sure they only have one player who has even played in a Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And that would be Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher.
Was on that 06-07
Ottawa team. Who was not even in uniform last night.
Right, who accepted the trophy but did not touch it. But yeah,
other than
Mike Fisher, as I go down the list here, none of the players on the Predators roster have even played in a cup final. James Neal I checked on, but was not on one of the Pittsburgh teams that was in the cup final. So,
all right, so Mark called in. Mark called in on the phone line here, 855-282-8255. We've got some other callers lining up here on Game Time AM on 590 The Fan KFNS. If you want to text in and jump to the front of the text inbox line, same number, 855-282-8255. Who do we have up next there?
This Matt? Is Joe.
Hey, Joe, how are you doing this morning?
Not doing bad. You know, I watched most of that game last night before I assisted on the Blues, and I'm not going to take anything away from the Predators, but very, very fortunate break that Anaheim loses their starting goalie because Jonathan Bernier was horrible.
Yep, that's true.
Anaheim dominated the game. They totally did. I mean, Pecorini stood on his head for two periods, and Anaheim did everything but win the game because their goalie, his first career playoff start, obviously the moment was too big for him. You know, and they had their backup goalie, and Bernier's a backup goalie for a reason, and that was, I've said this before, the goalie is the most important position on a team in hockey, especially in the playoffs. And, you know, it's hard going with your backup goalie, especially in a moment like that in elimination game. So it was a very advantageous break for Nashville that they got Anaheim's backup goalie.
And you saw that on the first Watson goal, which, I mean, just completely misplayed. Now, that puck ends up going in off of a skate, I think it was Montour, off of his skate, but it should never have gotten through the crease to where Montour was. I mean, it's a soft shot along the ice, and Bernier is off the angle by 6 to 8 inches and just whiffs at trying to stick the puck to the corner. It was brutal.
Pecorini, like I said, with Nashville, with seven, eight shots through the first two periods. I mean, eight. Anyway, give him credit. The Blues, I read, and I think you guys, I was going to work, and I caught the tail end of your show yesterday, and I think you were talking a little bit about the Tom Stillman article. Let me just say, as someone who's had season ticket packages for the Blues the last few years, I've had partial packages. I haven't determined how many games I'm going to go to next year. I may not go to any. I'm not sure yet at this point in my life. You know, 30-something years of watching this, and and obviously Stillman thinks that Armstrong has done a great job, and he endorses him with high praise. And he kept mentioning, Doug knows about our long-term future. Well, when you talk about long-term future to Blues fans and season ticket holders like myself, when you haven't won in 50 years, personally, I don't want to hear about long-term future. I just don't. I don't care to hear about that. And maybe that's just me.
No, I mean, that's fair.
This is a general manager who, in the offseason, essentially his big move was signing David Perron. And David Perron was one of the worst players I've ever seen in all my years watching the Blues play in the playoffs. He just wasn't bad. He was worse than bad. You signed Patrick Berglund in the season. And again, I've said this about Berglund, and it's not going to – why would it change? It'll be year 7 for him next year. He does nothing in the playoffs. Nothing. He had 1 point, right? Zero.
Yeah.
And they said, well, maybe we'll move him to the third line. Well, you saw what Nashville's third line did. I mean, third lines are important too. It's just not the first and second line in the playoffs. A lot of times it's your third line, even your fourth line, that scores unexpected goals. That's how you win Stanley Cups.
Depth.
Patrick Berglund has demonstrated nothing that he can perform in the playoffs. So why would he think next year would be any different? So I'm just saying, the money that he spent, okay, it all adds up, and they spend to the cap. They just don't spend wisely, and to me, they have very little room next year to do anything different, and that's a problem. And again, this division, I heard Hitchcock say this the other day. I mean, let's not sleep on Winnipeg, all right? And Dallas now may have their goalie. They may have their goalie, and so you got five teams in this division. I think Chicago, they're not going anywhere. I think they'll be back. You got five teams in this division, so and I don't know what the Blues can do, but it was disappointing for me to hear or to read, Stillman just throw all these accolades at a general manager who, quite frankly, I don't think had a very good offseason at all, guys. I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yep,
thanks, Joe. And Joe, by the way, as you're listening, hopefully, check out the podcast. We had a 30-minute interview with Tom Stillman yesterday, and I think we're going to talk about that here a little bit later in the show after we kind of get over the news of last night and deal with the Predators advancing to the Cup final. Because he touched on some of the same things and gave some similar answers to us yesterday. So that audio is online at InsideSCL.com, or you can find the podcast on iTunes or Google Play. Started about 6:10 yesterday morning, full 30, 31 minutes. The two of us sitting down with Tom Stillman late last week and airing yesterday on Game Time AM. Do we have another caller there, Matt Davis?
We did. I accidentally dropped the call.
Uh-oh. Call back.
It's on me. I think it was Josh. So, Josh, call back.
That was an honest accident. We're not. We get everybody on the air as soon as
Have
we
you
can.
You seen how many buttons are on this little phone over here?
I know.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how to put anybody. I don't know how to put anybody from that phone onto the air, for
you're,
sure.
You're monitoring the computer. You're keeping us on the air. You're answering phones. It's you got a lot of balls in the air.
Abe Froman texting in to say he totally disagrees. I'm not entirely sure with what, but he says that.
Probably with you.
Maybe. But he says that Perron is the king of knocking the puck 3 feet above his head down for yet another unnecessary high stick stoppage.
Which he is really good at
that. Have you ever seen another NHL player jump with their stick at full extension above their head to swat at a puck? I've never seen that. I've only seen David Perron do that, and I've seen him do it a handful of times.
I saw Patrick Shaw head the puck in the goal one time.
Andrew Shaw.
God,
Patrick
sorry.
Sharp.
Yeah, it's early.
I can tell you're a little, I don't know, the batteries aren't firing this morning. You're a little down.
I was slow to go to bed last night because I was like, man, the Predators are in this damn thing.
What, you go to bed at like 1:30 or something?
It was like 12:45.
Go to bed. I can't.
Brett, does it make you feel any better to know that the Blues were beat by the team going to the conference final or to the finals?
No.
Okay. What did you decide? Finals?
I don't do that song and dance.
I looked it up last night, by the way. In 3 of the last 6 years, including this year, the Blues have been eliminated by the team that wins the Western Conference, which does not, yay. I mean, that doesn't seem to matter because, right, even if you lose in the first round, then there's a 1-4 chance that team would do it, you know, whatever.
I don't think it matters.
It was not as significant as I thought it was going to be.
Mm. Hey, we got Josh back on the line.
Hey, Josh, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
We're okay. We're fine.
I'm fine. Brad's pouting.
Yeah. Hey, got a question. I've been, following Twitter. Saw that the Rangers, I think they're trying to move Derek Stepan, their number one center.
Yeah.
In order for like a defenseman. So what do you think the chances are the Blues can pull that trigger?
With anything else, it depends on what the ask is. Now, the danger with Stepan is that he has sort of fallen off over the last couple of years, and he's a guy who might not necessarily, I don't know that he necessarily has the skill that you want to pump in through Tarasenko. And keep in mind, I mean, his deal is huge, right? So we're talking about $6.5 million for 4 more years with some no moves worked into there. Derek Stepan is a good player, and that's a guy who, on paper, fits into what you would want the Blues to acquire. My concern with a guy like Stepan is that you would be getting him at basically the same point in his career. He's a little young. He's like 20. He's 26 now, almost 27. But you're getting him at basically the same point in his career where the Blues acquired Paul Stastny. And Stepan has never scored more than 60 points in a season, right? So I don't know that that's a guy who at $6.5 million you can trust to be a number one center.
He brings some skill. I what do you think, Josh?
He's a good player, but.
Well, I just seen that he's been averaging, 50 plus points for the last, 5 years? I don't know how well that trade or that pickup was in the first place. I just think Stepan would be a very good plug-and-play guy.
He's for sure a very useful player. The money is big. The talent ask would probably be similarly big, right? If the Rangers are looking to dump him, it's because they think that money can be spent better elsewhere, which, I mean, probably on Kevin Shattenkirk.
They got a lot more problems. Plus, they're looking for Shatty, from what I heard,
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, hey, Josh, thanks for the call. Yep. We appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man. Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, all right, thanks. So we got all sorts of phones.
That's over there. The phone is blowing up this morning.
You know those variety shows where they have people spinning the plates on the sticks?
Yeah.
That's what he kind of looks like he's doing
over
there.
I hung up on somebody else accidentally.
Oh, no.
But he called back.
I don't think he's done that in 3 months. Man, doesn't hung up on anybody accidentally and does it twice in 2 minutes.
I'm enthralled with this talk here.
All right. Hey, Matt, who's on the phone line next?
Baby-O.
Hey, Baby-O. How are you doing this morning?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm used to getting hung up on during the conversation, not before I even get on the air.
Carpe diem.
No, but first of all, I hope you guys are doing well this morning. Well, you woke up, so I guess that's a start.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm listening just to the conversations, and, Mark and Joe are two of my favorites, and Joe has been a big sports fan in St. Louis. I'm talking about football, baseball, all around me. He's been calling talk shows for years. And when I listen to somebody like him talk about the Blues and, you know, he's debating on whether he's even going to get a partial season ticket package next year. You know, I think a lot of fans are starting to feel that way. And yes, you know, they put a good product on the ice. But you know, when does the frustration really start to hit? I'm not talking about the casual fan. I'm talking about hit the true fan. Now, Nashville will be another team since the Blues have been in existence to make the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Blues are still waiting. And if they win it, that's gonna put a little sting in some of the fans. And I'm just questioning, you know, how long is it gonna last? And when you were talking about the contracts, I have never been one to criticize the Blues about spending money. But you know, spending money doesn't always make you a winner.
Yeah.
It's how you spend the money.
Yeah, baby, I got an idea on your first point about, you know, when do the diehard fans, the fans that you always count on to come through the gate and be patrons of the St. Louis Blues, when do they start getting fed up? I have a little bit of a theory, and this is borne out from the game time paper that we sell outside every Blues home game. The fan base, the season ticket fan base, there are core people who have been there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, you know. There is that number of diehards. And then there are a lot of other people who have season tickets for a couple years, packages for maybe several years. And they actually turn over the ticket base more than I think we imagine. And we've seen that by selling the paper. Because if you look at, you know, I started running the paper in 2013, the lockout shortened season. And so basically, as soon as Vladimir Tarasenko came in the NHL, I've been out there selling the paper. And there are regulars that get it every single game. Those regular faces have already changed since 2013. I think they turn over the fan base through every 3 or 4 years, and they don't really talk about it. They know. The Blues know. I mean, they have all that information on who's buying tickets and who has the ticket packages and that kind of thing. But it's kind of a thing where you have to be committed to go to 20 games. 30 games, 40 games a year, plus the playoffs.
Well, and this year would have been an interesting barometer of that, because I'm sure there were a much higher percentage than usual of people buying at least 5 and 10 game packages to get access to the Winter Classic tickets.
Yes.
And so this is an opportunity to hook those people in and to make them feel like they're really missing out if they're not committing to longer packages. And did they do that this year? I don't know. I mean,
no.
Look, the team had a moderately successful season. But I don't know that, aside from the Winter Classic, I don't know that the PR blitz was very good.
No.
I don't think the outreach. It really does feel like there's something missing from, I don't know, a sales perspective?
At the beginning of last season, so the Blues had been eliminated in the first round 3 years in a row. The beginning of last season, you could see ticket sales were down about $1,500 a game to start the season. And it wasn't a Cardinals World Series effect. It wasn't anything like that. It was definitely some disgruntled folks who said, you know what, I've seen this ride, I've been on this ride, 3 first-round exits in a row, I'm not going to up, or I'm going to cut back my ticket package. They're going to see a drop-off for one big reason. You just mentioned it. All those folks who had gotten ticket plans to get access to Winter Classic tickets, they're not going to come back.
Well, and have they released single-game pricing for next year yet?
No.
That's going to jump, too. I mean, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know.
Is.
Yeah. And baby,
and the thing about it is, I'm sorry not to interrupt.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Winter Classic. That was a big boost, you know, as far as PR and ticket sales are concerned. Because I'm sure a lot of, it'd be interesting to see how many people were actually first time buyers because of the Winter Classic.
Right.
But the question I'm trying to ask is, eventually, how long is the quote unquote turnover going to last? I mean, how you're going to get people? You know, you're always going to people who's going to drop season tickets for one reason or another. It may be financial, it may be age, it may be just lack of interest. I don't know. But the problem is, when these diehards start dropping, when is the replacement going to start dropping?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm looking at these contracts the Blues have. You know, Alex Steen, Patrick Berglund, David Perron. You know, some of these contracts, you know, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, I hear you.
They're ridiculous. They're long.
Yep. They are. All right. Hey, thanks, baby O.
Sir.
Thanks for calling in this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, and so
okay, you know, I'm enjoying this. If I'm not, even if I'm not calling, I'm always listening. So I'm enjoying the show. Let's just keep this going. But
yep.
If Nashville wins, I tell you, and I'm pulling for Nashville.
All right,
but all right.
If they win, I tell you.
All right, thank you.
Yep, thanks, baby. Okay.
He called in on 855-282-8255. You can text him. Have we got some texters, by the way?
Abe Froman has some package jokes about Doug and wants to know why Josh hates why do you hate Josh, Matt Davis, is the text here.
I don't.
He keeps hanging up on him.
I don't even know
so
Josh.
Here's the other thing with the ticket sales that is interesting to me. Given the way economic trends have been going in this country for the last 10 years or so, there's not a lot, or not as much, discretionary wealth located in folks my age as in folks 20 years older. And so when Baby O's talking about, as full season accounts drop off, who's going to fill it in, are there a lot of people between the ages of 27 and 35 who have $5,000 a year to blow on Blues tickets? I don't know that that really exists in St. Louis, right?
St. Louis is a hot spot for startups, right?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. I don't know. Maybe everyone at Locker Dome is buying a season ticket package.
That could be.
But
you never know.
But yeah, it's like, as far from the marketing perspective for this team, I mean, who do you see around town? Like, are there commercials on networks that are not Fox Sports Midwest? Are there billboards? Is there an ad campaign? Am I just missing it because I wasn't here at the beginning of the year?
They could be advertising on this radio show. They're not.
I guess that's true. But I mean, right? Like, isn't there? It's missing, right? Isn't there a component of community engagement that's not there?
It's probably a cost benefit analysis. They've spent money in previous seasons, and maybe they haven't gotten a return on investment.
Has there been a single ad aired with a speck of footage from the Winter Classic? I mean, anything. It feels like the Blues rely on an existing fan base, and I don't know what they're doing to grow it. I don't know what the outreach program is. As far as I can tell, the outreach program is like, find a funny guy on Twitter and hope that he can milk you into some extra tickets for two seasons.
Yeah. Hey, Tony X, good morning. We still haven't had him on the show. I kind of feel like I let us down because he was going to be on and we didn't iron out the time. Oh, well. This is Game Time AM here in 5-9 The Fan. I'm Brad. That's Jeff. Matt Davis is over there answering the phones. Is there someone else on the line?
There is not.
There's not. Okay.
The phone is free.
So if you want to call in, you'll be first in line. I want to get to a couple things from last night still. You said you did not stay up for the very end. You kind of were paying attention, but not really.
Well, I was watching Better Call Saul.
Okay, fair enough. Did you know?
It's a good show, man.
I didn't know that was on last night.
Yeah, it's Monday.
Oh.
Have you looked? Do you know whether or not the Predators touched the Clarence Campbell Bowl?
They did not touch it. I've looked.
You looked?
Yes.
All right. So our friends over at On the Forecheck, the Predators blog on SB Nation, our brothers in arms down in Nashville fighting the good fight. And last night I tweeted to him right after the game. I said, hey, guys, party like it's 2017. Because really, they have nothing to compare it to. They actually did a really complete breakdown about teams touching or not touching the trophy.
Oh, yeah?
Oh my gosh, there's charts and color-coded graphs.
I'm going to guess that it is statistically insignificant.
Well, first and foremost, when one team doesn't touch the cup, that team is actually more likely to lose. When one team touches the cup and the other does not, the touching team is 5-3. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is not significant.
So
it's 5 of 8. I mean, like, that's a literal coin flip away from being a break even.
So here's another excerpt. Despite the numbers saying that they should touch the Clarence S. Campbell Trophy, there are compelling reasons why not. The last two teams to touch their conference trophy and lose were the 2010 Philadelphia Flyers, coached by
Peter Laviolette.
Correct. And the 2007 Ottawa Senators, on which Mike Fisher played.
Yeah.
Red flags? Yeah. But furthermore, when Laviolette's Carolina Hurricanes did not touch the Prince of Wales Trophy in 2006, they won the Cup. Therefore, if we're talking about intangibles, perhaps it would be wise for Nashville to stray far away from the Clarence S. Campbell Bowl. And I did not see. I wonder how many stoner references there were talking about Clarence S. Campbell Bowl.
Well, probably not, because they don't really smoke the Ghibli down there. That's the devil's lettuce.
Yeah, that could be. So Mike Fisher came out. His face looked like he got run over by a train.
Well, I mean, he's concussed.
Yeah, he looked concussed.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to go listen to some more Carrie Underwood.
By the way, I did enjoy, rewinding to the pregame, they have...
You're just changing the topic.
Well,
on
but it's, all right, it's the same
enough.
Sort
go
of
ahead.
Thing.
No, go
they
ahead.
Have Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala come out to wave the towel and be there for the crowd, and they show Johansson arriving. Okay, so Fiala has a broken femur, like his thigh bone is broken, and he's wearing the suit to the game. Ryan Johansson showed up in a gym shorts and a t-shirt.
He came there from the hospital.
Yeah, but like, come on, they couldn't get him a suit? It was weird. It was weird to me that he was not in it. I'm sorry. It was strange to me that
he
was not
in brace on, right?
But so does Fiala. Fiala's got a broken femur. I'm not offended.
To discuss the dress code for the Nashville Predators,
It was weird. The only thing that I could figure is that maybe because of his like circulatory thing, he has to wear loose fitting clothing. That's it. That's the only thing I can think of that made sense for why Ryan Johansson like didn't put a tie on.
We're breaking this down to the nth degree.
I'm telling you, it was weird. I've never ever seen a player show up at the rink during a game not wearing a suit.
Yeah, okay.
Injured or not.
He came from the hospital, that's all I'm going to say. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but there's
give
not like
a break.
He doesn't have like six girlfriends in Nashville that can go by his apartment and grab him a suit.
I can't speak intelligently on the dating habits.
That's
of
fair. Or like, I mean, like,
Ryan Johansson,
like the equipment assistant for the Predator, because every team has got a guy on their staff that ostensibly has one job, but really is the bag man, right? Like and the Blues have that guy too. They have the guy who is the guy who takes care of the tickets and go and run and grab me this and hey, this person's coming in. Can you drive me? You know. Somebody has that job. There's no way the Predators don't have a gopher who couldn't go to Ryan Johansson's apartment and get him a suit.
So, looking at the loser Ducks, Ryan Kessler, do you know how many points he had in this series?
Less than three.
He had one.
Okay.
He had one assist. He was a -4 in game six after being a -1 in game five, two games that he did not have to shadow Ryan Johansson. So, his head coach, Randy Carlyle, after the game, indicated that the schedule wasn't in Anaheim's favor and that the NHL should reconsider it. Reading off of Yahoo Sports Puck Daddy blog, Coach Randy Carlyle said, "I don't think we played poorly in the series." Really? I think that the toughest part I have about the whole thing is that this was our seventh game in 13 days, said Carlyle. Now, there's various reasons for that, but I think there's got to be some consideration in the scheduling in the future between series. We finished on a Wednesday and had to open again on a Friday. Whereas
winning five or six, and that doesn't happen.
True. Whereas other teams had to open on a Saturday. An extra day would have given us a chance to recover. He's complaining about an extra day. An extra day. And we know how tough these games are. And that was a tough hand that was dealt to us.
The only small point I would make here is that it does seem to make more sense that if you have to give an extra day of rest somewhere in the schedule, you give it to the Western series and not the Eastern series.
Because they have to fly so far?
Yeah, right. That part to me makes a little bit of sense. But otherwise, I mean, I just think that, yeah, he just needs to get over it.
Yeah. So then also, Greg Wyshynski points out, please recall that on May 17th, Carlisle completely punted on the schedule question when asked, is it fair to play the playoffs with this kind of a schedule, by a reporter? Quote, well, I better not comment on what's fair and what's not fair. I leave that up for other people. I think the issue is we get accustomed to it and we just make... Sure, we manage the time, what we do in the days between, and how we can re-energize our group.
I mean, frankly,
that's the most important thing.
That sounds like the same answer to me. Just it's the answer that you give during the playoffs versus the answer you give when you're already eliminated. That sounds like the same thing, right?
You're calling it out as an issue, but not complaining about it.
I mean, right, yeah. Like, it's just he's sidestepping it and making it clear where he sits on it. I mean, okay. I get it, but I just don't care. I mean, that's part of the deal with the playoffs, right? You have to suck it up and you get through a brutal grind. That's why the Stanley Cup playoffs are unique and so captivating for people, is because it is a grind to get through.
It is. Did the phone ring again there, Matt Davis?
We have Jim on the line.
Hey, Jim, good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Hey, first I have to congratulate the Hillbillies. I mean, they did do it. But like you guys are just talking about, it's been such a grind for them to get this far, and they've really sustained a lot of injuries. And the series with the Ducks, as you guys saw, was very physical. So in my humble opinion, I don't think they can beat Pittsburgh. I guess I feel sorry for Ottawa. I've already eliminated them. But I just think Pittsburgh now with their goalie back in, Murray, who was the champion from last year, he'll give Rennie a battle. And with Sidney Crosby, I think the Hillbillies are going to be in for it. So I got Pittsburgh repeating as champion. And I guess my only question, listening, I'm a lifer too. With the Blues, I've always said it's a journey. It's a lifelong quest, so I can't give up. I'm old like Baby O and Joe. My health's not the greatest. I'd like for it to happen soon. But here's my ultimate question. Who do you think will get through first, the Blues or Las Vegas? I guess if Las Vegas beats us out, that's when I'll give up.
That's a fair
maybe the Arizona Coyotes, if they get through before us, then I'll really, I don't know, I don't want to commit suicide, but I mean, I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm a lifer, like all the call, well, not Mark, caller Mark, he relishes in the Blues losing. I think it's funny, he fancies himself a San Antonio Spurs fan. His team just got clobbered last night, but it didn't look like it shook him any. He hates the Blues, so he's enjoying this. That's why I wanted to throw that in there. I hope he's listening. But, with the Blues, it's a lifelong quest. Remember, I'm the guys that calls you. I still think we're jinxed because of the Christmas firing of the coach.
Right.
And the Scotty Bowman factor. I just don't know what to say.
I would say welcome the Knights with open arms and get yourself kind of on the ground floor of that franchise. So if they do start lapping the Blues, at least you can claim you were there from the beginning and you can just easily transition.
I'll say this in closing. You got to congratulate that David Poile. I mean, I think he was the one originally. He built up the Capitals. He's been with Nashville for, 18 years old, like you guys said.
Yep, the entire time.
Yeah, he finally made it. Doug Armstrong, I mean, he's the big question. I personally kind of like him because I'm a big fan of Canadian hockey, and he runs Team Canada, and he wins at that. Obviously, he's got the world's greatest players.
Right.
But I like him. But I do got to agree with Baby O and Joe. The thing that bugs me is the long-term contracts. Like Joe said, Perron's a joke. Patrick Berglund, 5 years. I know my buddy said, well, it's only $19 million, but the problem is it's five more years of them. A guy that doesn't get ripped on this show too much, but I think it's a waste of money, is Gunnarsson. I almost wish we had Roman Polak back to be the sixth defenseman over Gunnarsson. That's the problem. It's not the money, but it's the length of these contracts. It's got me bugaboot.
Sure.
I'm cackling enough. I'll get off here. Hey, I love this show. You got to love this show. Why else would I get up at 5 in the morning? Thank you guys for having this hockey show, and hey, have a good day. And like I said, it's a lifelong quest, and I don't know.
All right.
There's a good hot take horn for Jim. Jim, thanks for calling in this morning.
Buddy.
We appreciate it. All right, so Jim's a loyal listener. His kind words, very kind words. We appreciate it. As soon as he started saying if this team won before the Blues or this team, I was like, he keeps going down the line and it gets worse. It kind of reminded me of Sanford and Sons.
There are only four franchises now in the NHL who have never been to a Stanley Cup final. It's the Jets, the Jets Thrashers franchise, I should say.
Uh-huh, the Blue Jackets.
The Minnesota Wild, the Blue Jackets. I saw the fourth one last night, and now I can't remember who it was.
Panthers. No, Panthers have been to the final.
Panthers have definitely been to the finals.
I'm searching around in my head, and I cannot come up. Ottawa's been there.
Yep.
I don't know. You'll have to look that up.
I'm Googling it right now.
I want to get to another thing here from last night. So you're listening to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan. I'm Brad. That's Jeff, who's Googling at the moment. Matt Davis answering the phones. Peter Laviolette, he is only the third coach, I believe, fourth coach, I'm sorry. There are three other coaches who have taken three teams to the Stanley Cup Finals. The others are Dick Irvin, who was a little bit before my time, Scotty Bowman, and Mike Keenan. Wow, that's quite a list. And now Laviolette. Now
the Coyotes.
Yeah, we should have known that. So talking after the game, I guess he was asked about how special is this, becoming only the fourth coach to take three teams to the final. Laviolette said, quote, probably means I got fired a lot. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate to be here working and fortunate David Poile gave me a job. And when you do that, you're not thinking about things like that. You're just thinking about coming to work. And I've got such a great group of guys in the locker room that I get to work with every day and the coaches get to work with every day. And that's what we've pretty much done this year. It's just all about us trying. We've tried to get to go to work and try to get better. And we find ourselves in the position we're going to play for the cup. I mean, he's basically saying, look, it's not me, it's them. And that's totally what a coach should say.
So the Nashville Predators were awarded a franchise in 1997. They began playing in 1999, but they were awarded the franchise in 1997, hired a GM and a head coach. They were there for a full year before they started play. The Predators, in those 20 years, have had one general manager and two head coaches. That's pretty crazy.
It is. I mean, the patience. Is it they couldn't find anybody else to work for the wages they're probably paying in Nashville because they didn't have the cash flow? Or is it just they're that darn patient? I don't know.
Yeah. Text from the 618 says, number one, has Armstrong ever had a championship team in the cap era? The answer is no, because he's been with the Blues primarily in the era of the salary cap. The second part of this text, though, was that since 2011, only one team has beaten the Blues in the playoffs and not won the cup. That is San Jose last year. That is not accurate. 13-14, for example, the Blues lost to the Minnesota Wild. 12-13, the Blues lost to the Blackhawks. Blackhawks did not win the cup that year. The Kings won the cup that year. So other franchises have won the cup. But, you know, the Blues, in fact, have only lost to the cup champions, I believe, the first year they were eliminated by the Kings in 2012.
So it's, and you know what? What seed were the Predators going into the playoffs?
The 8th or the 16 overall.
16 overall. That is amazing. And they mentioned it last night, the number of teams that were 8th seeds making the Stanley Cup final. Edmonton in 2006, right? And then the Kings did it twice, even though on the broadcast they only mentioned once.
Right.
And the Kings are only a team to win it as an 8th seed, doing it twice. Both times they've won the Cup, they were 8th seed. So I guess maybe the Blues should not have beaten the Predators there at the end of the season and tried to just hang on for 8th instead of 3rd in the division.
There you go. Let's go ahead and take a left turn. Text from the 636. Question. Why do the referees look at an iPad if Toronto makes the ultimate call on goal, no goal?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think that Toronto does make the ultimate call on goal, no goal. I think that Toronto steps in if they believe the call is going the wrong direction or if they believe that a call needs to be challenged. But the officials in the building have primary control over that, and especially that's true with the linesman for offside calls as well.
I think it's only for that, because if there's just a regular review, it goes
to Toronto. So only goes to Toronto. The iPad is just for the offside calls, and
that is weird, because why would you give? You're not. I mean, you're like saying, "Hey, linesman, you still need to make this call."
Right.
Whereas the referees on the ice in any other situation that there's a review, they don't get to do that. They just listen on the headset to whatever they decide in the war room in Toronto. That's a good question. That was just random texting in?
Yep.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the contribution there.
The Blues, by the way, currently are tied with the Toronto Maple Leafs for the second longest cup drought in the history of the NHL.
No. I feel strongly about this for no good reason whatsoever.
So you think the Leafs is longer?
Because they won it in, what, May or June?
They won it May. In 67.
And the Blues didn't even exist yet. They hadn't played a game.
But they existed. It's the same season.
They had not played a game.
But by the next time the Leafs played a game, the Blues played a game too.
But they still had won it before.
It's the exact it's the exact same distance of time.
There's this thing called a calendar that you flip up, and the month they won the cup was May.
But there are no games.
The Blues entered the league in October.
Well, no, they didn't, because the franchise was incepted the previous year.
The Blues began play in October.
At the same time that the Leafs did.
Was it possible for the St. Louis Blues to win the Stanley Cup in May of 1967?
No, it was not.
All right, there you go. It's longer.
Okay, so that was their inception. It was possible for the Leafs to win, and they won then. So they both start at a zero drought. It was not possible for the Blues to win in 67. So when they start play in the fall of 67, their drought is at 0 years, as is the Leafs. And it ticks forward from there.
You don't give up ever, do you?
It's like if you have a car, You have a brand new car, and you have a car with 10,000 miles on it, and you both reset the trip odometer at the same time.
Matt,
you're counting the trip odometer. No. You're not counting the overall odometer. I'm just saying
there's this calendar, but that's okay. Whatever. We can agree to disagree. I'm Brad. That's Jeff over there. Matt's shaking his head behind his microphone. No callers?
Nope, no callers. All right,
so if you're wanting to join the conversation, definitely give us a text, 855-282.
If you're wanting to send in four consecutive texts about the NBA, just stop it.
Oh, well,
right.
Well, about the NBA? Like,
yeah,
what?
So old buddy Ward Cleaver continues to text in. He texted in yesterday, it appears, to the hard line, wanting to know why Stillman doesn't reach out for more investors and bring an NBA team in to get the minority sports dollars, as though African-American folks aren't interested in the Blues, which I understand the demographic breakdown of fans. I disagree strongly that the Blues don't have outreach in the African-American community. But, you know, I guess maybe he would know better than me. I don't know. But he continues to say the Blues need a second tenant for Scott's trade period. That, I mean, it's not like that. It's literal nonsense. Number one, the building can't support an NBA team. Number two, there's not enough money in town to buy an NBA team because NBA teams are worth in the multiples of billions of dollars at this point.
And after, like, the Clippers were sold for, what, $2 billion a couple years ago?
That's just not happening. And then says, the Blues have been cursed since the Hawks left in 68. Until the NBA returns, the Blues will never win. I don't think that those things aligned. I could be wrong about that, but...
And didn't the Hawks play... Did the Hawks play at the arena, or did they play at Kiel Auditorium?
I'm sure they played at Kiel Auditorium.
Yeah, so...
Or maybe they didn't. I don't know. The Hawks did leave in 68.
Okay. Find out where they played. So we've got just a couple minutes here before we need to take a break. So if you want to call in after.
It was indeed Kiel Auditorium. They occasionally played at the St. Louis Arena, but mostly played at the Kiel Auditorium.
So those are kind of unrelated. Interesting. So I don't know. It's watching, you know, last night, that place was going crazy. And, you know, good for the fans down there. Those tickets are expensive. And, you know, they've been lauded on the National Hockey League stage, the league-wide stage, for the atmosphere they are providing the Predators for those home games. And it's loud. It's raucous. You know, people were standing, I think, almost all the third period. Even when the Ducks kind of showed some life and they tied it up 3-3, and then the Predators went ahead for good and then added the two empty netters. I mean, they were into it, and it wasn't anything, you know, signs or anything, but man, even when you're scoring the second empty net goal and you're up 6-3 and you're going to the Stanley Cup final and you start chanting the "you suck" thing, I don't know.
I don't like that part. But I can overlook. I think it's fine. I don't know. Text from the 636 actually is timely here because it says, I may still be salty, but any franchise that creates something as nightmarish as the Fangarang does not deserve the cup.
Hey Jeff, can you explain?
I like.
Can you bring up the audio for that song?
I can try.
They played it on TMA yesterday morning.
If you pull up, just search on Twitter the Fangarang thing.
The music
is obnoxious.
It's not a great song, right? It's a stupid rally song. It's a stupid video.
Matt Davis said it's horrible. He didn't even talk in his microphone.
It's the kind of stupid that I appreciate, right? Like, it's cheesy, and I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. I can tell you.
Explain what it is.
So it is. Basically, I don't know if it was the Predators marketing department or if it was like individual, like, fan type people.
No. They're on the marketing? Ice. They're on.
Well,
the
they
ice.
Are, but I mean, they're, I don't know if they got an access. Okay, fair enough. So they have this video where basically there's a Macarena style dance that goes with it, and there's a song that basically just goes "Let's Go Preds" over and over again, and they've got the ice dancers dancing, and they got Terry Crisp out there with some fang fingers on, and yeah. Nash. There's a whole
thing. Hey, what kind of music is Nashville known for?
Not that. It's country music town. It's a little techno-y.
A little.
Yeah, not great.
Yeah, the Predators Twitter account
probably would have it for sure.
Yeah, you might have to scroll back through all the games.
I'll tell you this. There are going to be some very happy hockey media people. Pending the result, I guess, of the Ottawa-Pittsburgh series, assuming that it goes the way that people assume expect it to go, it's like a 45-minute flight from Nashville to Pittsburgh. You can get there direct. No, it's Southwest probably, but you can get there direct. They get to go out on Broadway and, you know, a lot of good old Western Canadian boys who would enjoy the country music. You got that going on. You got a new city. It's going to be, I think, a fun series to cover.
Hey, Matt, check your Twitter. I just retweeted it to you so we can pull that up. I mean... you're going for the Stanley Cup final, and you want to get the community behind you, and you want to go viral on the social media. I get it. It's just do something good.
It's a non-traditional market. I mean, that's what good. It's going to take a
do
little bit
smart.
Of effort.
Do something. Do something catchy. Do something.
It is catchy. What are you talking about?
Not.
What are you talking about? Do something catchy. It is the definition of catchy.
You know what? I'll bet you a milkshake that Hockey Bob agrees with me that it's stupid.
Well, I wouldn't know because I'm going to take my earphones out when he calls in. You can't defeat that. There's nothing you can do about that move.
We'll see about that.
Matt Davis is having a world of trouble over here, clicking on links and everything else.
I haven't.
Yeah, but I think that link goes to Facebook somehow.
Yeah, that. But you just tweeted at me. There was a link that sent me to Facebook, and now it's saying log in and all this stuff. So I'm trying to work around it.
Okay. Austin and Colin. I don't know who Austin and Colin are. I guess they are...
Austin Watson and Colin Wilson.
Oh, right.
Okay, guys. Unfortunately, it is ready.
Okay. All right. Let's hear the fangarang. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. And by the way...
This is Josh Jams.
Here's the thing. You talk about it's not catchy. Do something creative. How many sports talk radio stations are playing this clip this morning? Tons.
Fangarang.
God. There's a whole dance that goes with it. There's guys in like, they have like the Biff jacket, but the Predators version of it.
I think it's cool that the dance itself is actually like, they made it for people that can't dance.
Right.
So, hey, anybody can do this.
They are well aware.
You know what they did? They took part of the Thriller dance and made it fangs.
Yeah. Here's my only complaint about the fangarang. You can cut it off.
All right.
But my only complaint about the fangarang.
Why didn't we play that all the way to commercial?
There's a step in there that's supposed to, I think, look like a slap shot, maybe. But it looks like a golf swing. The hands are next to each other.
Is it a golf swing?
Yeah, it looks like somebody teeing up a drive more than it looks like somebody teeing up a slap shot. That part isn't great.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that
whatsoever. I cannot stand that. I think it's horrible.
There's so many good musicians in Nashville, and they... pick that crap. I mean, come on. Anyway, I can't.
Even they know.
As we go into break here, I'm gonna.
Which is worse, the fangarang or the power play dance? Matt Davis.
I think fangarang by a long shot.
I think both are fine, but I think the power play dance is worse from the perspective of like it's less produced. Like the fangarang took some effort, and I appreciate it.
Right, and that's what they came up with.
Why is it worse that it's less produced? That it's less choreographed?
Because it didn't involve as much effort and as much engagement from the team.
Organic.
Okay, but that's fine. The fangarang is something. I don't know.
Do you think Nashville
fans... I'm just going to turn this picture around of Nash, the mascot, handling
What's
himself.
What's he doing?
What does it look like he's doing?
He's banging a drum.
He's banging a drum. With one hand below the
that's
wall.
That's a bad predator.
Yeah. That's not a great angle.
Chris Hansen's like, hey, can you have a seat?
Right.
All right, fair enough. Hey, whenever we need to go to break, just start playing the music.
Oh, wow,
and I'll stop talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting there. So this has been the first hour of Game Time AM. If you're just getting out of bed, go ahead and podcast. Why don't you?
Rachel texting in from the 636 to say Hockey Bob for an hour or Fangarang for an hour. Give me the fangarang.
Hockey Bob.
Give me the fangarang.
Hockey Bob. you're outvoted.
Please, Hockey Bob.
All right, the urge is playing. We need to go to break. So this has been Game Time AM, the first hour. Come back for more hockey talk. We'll talk more about the Blues and the Tom Sillman interview we had yesterday here on 590 The Fan KFNS.